I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, thanks for talking to me yesterday.
You're welcome. Yeah, I was sitting with the hamburger for at least 10 minutes waiting to eat it. I was like, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to keep
listening.
That's
really hard.
That's a good friend.
You know what? One of the things I tell my team, The most effective way that they can gain points with me is how often they apologize for me. That's a true sign of a relationship. Are you willing to apologize for someone, and how often and how sincere?
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
David's willing to not eat a burger for 10 minutes to talk to me. I wouldn't do that for you, David.
Why?
No, I know.
Okay, stop.
It's a one-way friendship. Number one,
what was the conversation about?
Yes, Josh.
Football.
No.
Well, that's where it started.
LW3.
How did you guess?
So why didn't you eat your burger through that? I would eat my burger through that.
I was talking. I don't understand, David. Yeah, why weren't you eating the burger?
Just eat your burger.
Well, I was trying to concentrate. There's a lot of thoughts, scenarios, things were...
It's true. It's like a wild... It's like one of those car chase seats.
It's not listening. When he talks about LW3, you know what he does? He'll say, we do this and this. Do you know why?
Right.
And then I have to say why, and then he goes on. So it's a quiz.
I can see Dave with the burger right before he's about to take a bite. I go, do you know why?
I've never heard anyone say they have to concentrate when they're talking to Omar. That is completely unnecessary.
Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Omar wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Omar the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop, never gonna stop. Solving life's troubles while they spit in their bop. FTS crew, climbing to the top. Three homies chilling, yeah, they making the crop. Dave sees the ship.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop.
Wow.
We are here to bring you episode 76. I believe that's right. And not too much of a distance between our last episode. I feel like we got on to stick a little bit better this time. So,
not bad.
Coming at you. We will have a full episode, but maybe a slightly shorter one, which may be a relief. But if you're relieved that we have a shorter podcast, why are you listening? I guess is the question.
Because we are the number one fake faux ASMR podcast. People fall asleep listening to us. Why? Because our voices are soothing, like Billy Dee Williams.
That is
or like James Earl Jones, who just died. Did you hear that? That was very sad.
We should have a moment of silence for James Earl Jones. Can you think of his top iconic roles that he's done?
Mm, of course.
I'm not your father.
Yeah. Darth Vader, but
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. One more.
Field of Dreams.
If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
One more.
Well, he didn't. That
he was
wasn't
Thanos.
His voice.
No,
he
wasn't
was
Thanos.
Thanos.
That's a was terrible it? Guess.
No. I don't
Fossa,
know.
Fat Albert.
Oh, Lion King.
Oh, I was
going to
get Fat Albert. Oh, Fat Albert was Bill Cosby.
Yes. He wasn't in Fat Albert. Oh, my
I get
God.
This two mixed up all the time.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right. That's no way to honor the man.
One is a national treasure. The other is a sexual
is
assault.
A comedian? Is a comedian?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, we're on. By the way, be prepared. Omar is in a mean spirit today, so we'll see how this goes. But I'm your host, Dave. And as I said, we're here for episode 76, and I just want to mention a couple of things about 76. 76 has a little bit more going on with it than
it does.
Than others.
There's
Josh,
a lot.
Do you care to guess something unusual about the number 76?
Unusual or normal?
Well, however you want to say
it. Josh has that tattooed on the back of his ass.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. There is my
76ers.
Basketball team. Yes.
For my Philadelphia 76ers, of course. 1776. Yeah. There's a lot of good 76.
76. It's ConocoPhillips 76 gas
yep,
station.
ConocoPhillips.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yep.
a good one.
76 trombones and
trombones.
The big parade or is something
the
for
orchestra.
Music Man.
How do you know that?
That's a lot of trombones, by the way. 76. That's too many trombones. And
one,
to get them all,
one trombone is too many trombones.
What?
I don't want to hear a trombone.
You just chased away our entire trombone playing.
Trombones exist. You want to know why they exist? Because of the whole fat shaming thing. They are like the obese friend. Yeah, that you have to, because they have to be accepted for their size, and they're welcome to every room.
That's the tuba. That's the tuba, my friend.
Oh, sorry, got mixed up.
Yeah, yeah, you did. You did.
And then Fallout 76. That's a video game. Ever hear that?
No, I don't know that.
Isn't there Blink 76?
No, it's Blink 182. All
right.
Yeah, it's close. When we get to 182, you can bring that up again. Episode 182.
Just hang on for a little bit.
Just put that one.
Josh keeps up his hijinks. I'm not sure how. I think he's trying to create derision in this team.
What was that?
Derision.
Derision?
Okay. Well, in honor of the 76ers, they have a fair amount of derision, which, by the way, you have a player on the 76ers that is the worst flopper of all time.
Oh, stop. Don't bring up Embiid.
You have to be embarrassed about that.
No, it's coming from a Bucks fan, so I understand the jealousy there. Giannis is on his downslide. I get it. I get it.
At least that guy creates more charge than anyone. He does not flop. You cannot say Giannis is a flopper. But this isn't a sports show.
No, it's
let's,
not.
Let's move on this month. So we're at episode 76. I'm your host, Dave, as I mentioned. I'm here with two of my hosts that are always with me. Josh, you're first. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I just got back from seeing my daughter at school. We had family weekend. So that was fun, exhausting, but fun. And what I realized was she had us running around like crazy to 1,000 different things. And especially at night with all these events we were going to. And I realized I'm not that guy anymore. I'm just not, I'm a day guy. I'm not a night guy anymore.
Really?
You know what I mean? Those, my daughter and her friends, they're night people. And that's how I used to be at that age, right? You sacrifice the day so you could thrive and love the night. And now I'm all about, nope, if I ruin my day, I'm pissed. And I will sacrifice the night for the day now. I flip-flop.
So true.
Yeah. You feel that way too, Dave?
Well, no.
You're not
Dave. I know, but David, please.
Because he agreed with me.
I do agree.
Make sure.
Because, in fact, I have a sleeping pill that if I don't take by 9 o'clock, it's going to ruin my night's sleep. So I like, what time is it? I got to get my
– Every night?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's wonderful.
It's in his golf shorts. But listen, the problem with each of you guys, and it's actually a side reflection on being in a relationship and having children, is you're just bored by what kids do. If we saw each other, wait a second, can I finish? Mm-mm. If we're out together and I see you wherever it is, we're going to have dinner. We're going to go out. We'll be in bed by 10, 30, 11. But
that's what I'm talking
really
about.
Nice time.
But that's what I'm talking. Okay, so you missed my point a little bit. That's exactly what I'm
going to bed at 9.
No.
I got to take my pill at 9.
Dave's got to take his pill at 9. You hit the nail on the head. I'm in bed by 10:30, 11. That's great. I get a good night's sleep. I don't sacrifice my day. We were going to tailgates. We had a part. One night we went on a party bus for one of our friends that turned 21. And then from the party bus, we went to these bars. And then from the bars, we went to this. You know, it was like.
Good Lord.
Yes. Yes. And I was exhausted. And my wife and I are exhausted. And we're saying to my daughter, like, we need to go to bed. We have to end this. And she's like, are you sure? Just stay out a little bit longer. We finally had to cut it off and just say, look, we're going home. You stay here and have fun with your friends. And that's what we did. But. You know, that was even like only like midnight, 12:30. And it was screwed me up the whole next day.
What a great relationship you have with your daughter. She's
we have great
sad
relationship.
That you're turning in at midnight.
Isn't that unbelievable? She that wanted us to actually come to everything. And, you know, where her friends were going, we were going. And so it was fun. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but it was a long weekend and we did a lot. And I'm just like. Still, what is today? Tuesday? And I'm still drained from it. We got back Sunday night. So that's what I mean. I'm now all about the day. I used to be all about the night when I was her age and a little bit older. Flip-flopped. I don't want to ruin my
friends. Hold on. Are any of her friends' parents still interested in the night?
So there are – with Here's what I'll say. With family weekend, you see parents everywhere. So you see parents even at the bars that these kids go to. You see parents at the tailgates, at the fraternity houses. You see parents everywhere where normally it's just kids when it's not family weekend, right? But there are parents that can hang. They're there. You know, we saw parents dancing in the bar at night down, you know, on Broadway. And they looked like they were spry and they were probably the same age as us. And we're sitting there yawning in the corner.
Were there any women, mothers inappropriately dressed? That must always happen.
Well, look, I don't think so. Nothing from what I've seen. I mean, there's plenty of people inappropriately dressed because you're Broadway in Nashville, Nash Vegas. But no, besides that, it was like, it is amazing though, how some people can just.
Have you guys ever corrected or that's the wrong phrase to use. Have you ever told your wife, hey, listen, it's a little racy what you're wearing. Maybe you should cover up a little bit. Dave?
No.
What a great. I don't believe so. No, that's that. No. And I'm okay with that. I'm not. I think you're making that out to be sound like she's not racy enough. She's just racy just fine. So is that what you're asking?
That was the unsexy comment.
I'm trying to think. How do I say
my wife is just racy just fine. That's what I heard.
She'll appreciate it. That's
no, cool. I thought you were saying it more as like a controlling thing. Like you
no, not controlling. Like not controlling. No.
I watched too much 90 Day Fiance where these American girls are going to these Middle Eastern countries and they're like shocked that their new boyfriends don't want them showing cleavage.
How about your daughters?
Look, here's what I will say. My daughter and her friends, they definitely dress not how I'd prefer. Let's put it that way. They're all dressed to go out and they're all dressed, you know, I don't know. It's not the most clothing in the world, but look, they're all dressed the same way. It's hard for me to sit there and chastise her. I mean, I don't think there's been anything that's been too crazy where I was just floored. But at the same time, you know, it's your daughter. Dave?
I'm not answering that question. I don't go out with my daughters at midnight. So, and my one daughter is a mom now. So,
right, that's true.
She is now a child. And
but so with social media, you see them go. They post pictures when they go out. I see my kids.
Yeah,
when they
but,
go
you know,
out.
I'm not on. If I watched, if I was on Instagram, then I'd see what you're posting, Josh. Which again, I apologize that I'm not.
You need
seeing
to go on,
much.
Dave, for the sake of the show.
That makes me feel older. Than anything. But my question to you, Josh, is how do you handle when you're with your daughter and their friends? Do you hold court like you do normally, or are you more passive, or how do you handle?
I mean, it depends on the situation. If we're at like, we're on the party bus. No, I'm not holding court. I'm just trying to literally keep my balance. What a weird concept that is. Your beer's spilling everywhere. You're on an open air bus with no seats. And it's just like, it's crazy. It's nuts. But if we're at like a table or someplace where you can talk and it's not crazy loud, I like to mix it up with our friends.
You'll bring up about shooting a woodchuck and
sure,
bring up the
sure,
stories.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Nothing's off limits. We tell old stories. Absolutely.
Well,
that we think they'll appreciate.
Good for you. Well, that's good stuff.
It's
that's
fun. They're great kids. My kids have great friends. So I love the group when we get a chance to hang out with them.
Well, Omar, you're with us as well. You look good. Hair looks good. How you doing?
You know what I stopped doing? You guys don't know this. This is a newsflash. You guys may know this about me. I don't know. Since the day you've met me, which is 15 years ago or so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've used product in my hair. And I stopped using it about 2 months ago. No more product. It's
really?
Just no more product. It dry naturally.
Yeah, and this is quite the revelation. I think many of our listeners are going to be floored by this and probably have to collect themselves now after hearing
that. So I wanted to talk about something this high level.
Yes.
So
Can we go back to your hair? Can we go back to your hair?
You kind of just
Because I actually, so, you know, I use product as well because it won't sit. It'll just like, it goes, I have it long enough where I need it to kind of stay together. Did you purposely then cut it shorter so that it doesn't matter, or you just don't care? Like, how did you make that decision to stop using product?
No, I don't know. It just happened. Maybe I got lazy in my older age.
Got lazy. Yeah,
and then eventually I would let it dry, and I'm like, oh my god, my hair is beautiful. I don't need to put anything in there.
But doesn't it stay out of control?
Look at it.
The modesty is amazing. Yeah, look, it looks good. I'm not saying it doesn't, but so if you can get away without using product and make it look how you want, then that's the
And Josh, I have to give you credit for this because you were the one who sort of nudged me to start washing my hair more regularly.
Yeah, because it was gross.
Yeah, it's kind of a social norm.
And I'm doing that now, and like,
see?
I'm like a fucking pert commercial.
Huh? A pert.
Pert. Yeah.
You. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm talking to my dad earlier today.
How many things are you going into with how you doing? What are we going through? We're okay.
Well, I made him go back to his hair.
Oh, you did. That's true. So you're talking to your dad. What happened? What'd he say?
Well, my dad's 86. So I'm talking to him and, you know, and I realized something today when he asked me what I'm doing or whatever. I just started making things up. And
why?
I told him that I saw a dolphin jump out of the ocean. And then I saw a whale that came on the beach with a golf ball in its
get
spout.
The hell out of here.
Yeah.
He's not
and
buying
he's like,
that.
Really? Okay. He's like listening. He's like, really? Oh, wow. I'm like, yeah. And then there was a mermaid, Dad.
Yeah, stop.
And that mermaid was I was just doing because it was just me and he didn't notice it, didn't care. And I'm like, I kind of enjoyed it. I might start doing that more often, honestly.
Here's the funny part of this. You're doing it because you cannot believe that he's continuously believing you or playing along, and then he's going, I'm just going to make him think that I believe this and see how many bullshit things he shovels to my way. You're both playing a game that neither one's winning.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I love telling tall tales.
There you go.
But do you think you think your dad is onto him?
No, he's not onto me.
Yeah, that's what Josh
is
saying.
Thinks you saw a mermaid. He thinks you saw a mermaid.
I think he's like quarter listening.
Yeah. Wow, that's a different story. But he's
86 years old.
Well, I'm 50 years old, and I quarter listen when I talk to you. So that's
it's fair.
There's nothing crazy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might be quarter listening. He might be watching a Steven Seagal movie while he talks to you.
No, he's typically at the what does he call it? Headquarters.
Oh no. He's in the bathroom talking to you?
No, dude. He's at a car shop having the carburetor fixed or whatever he does.
Oh, headquarters.
Oh,
he calls it headquarters because he knows all the people who work there.
Okay, that's not the euphemism
very cute.
I was thinking of.
That's funny that you thought it was a bathroom, yeah.
Of course, when you say headquarters, I mean, you have to think, okay, what do you disguise the name of that you're talking from?
Yeah, the throne room. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't think car dealership. I'll tell you, that's not on my top 20 of headquarters.
Yeah, that was a hard one to guess. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Oh.
All right. How are you doing, Dave?
Thank you. That's always the awkward pause. I'm waiting, waiting. Just, Well, I'm going to complete the old man trifecta here.
There you go.
Have I already told you about my frozen shoulder? Have I talked about this already?
I don't think so. Not on air. I do know about your frozen shoulder, but I don't think we've ever talked about it.
Is you talk about like not wanting to go out at night. This frozen shoulder is making me like not want to leave the house. It just it hurts so bad. It's like everything. It's so funny. Your body has to be kind of perfectly aligned to just feel good, right? There's so many things, and I feel like I'm in relatively good shape and doing fine, except this frozen shoulder, which I'm afraid could be the result of a combination of being at a computer too long and then shifting from that to playing video games. And so
Josh, you're familiar with this frozen shoulder thing?
No, I don't know what a frozen shoulder is per se, but I've heard Dave complain
is
about
it. Game of Thrones?
No.
Yes. It's okay.
Yeah. The North is, winter is coming.
Yeah. Dave is in a walking freezer half his day. That's the
problem. No, I've never heard of it either. I went to a doctor and said, man, I must have torn something. I thought, and he said, he looked it around. He goes, I think what you have is frozen shoulder. And I'm telling you, and I tell other people about frozen shoulder that almost everyone I talk to, except for you two knuckleheads, have said like, oh yeah, I had that.
No.
Or I know someone who had that.
Never heard of it.
Tell me they had it for 3 years. If that's true, I'm going to cut this thing off.
What are you supposed to do for it?
It's a syndrome that apparently comes out of nowhere and leaves out of, was for no good reason either.
Oh, that's
weird. Like you can
do
physical therapy.
Yeah.
But it basically is like I've torn something in my shoulder, but it's not true. It's just super stiff and it hurts like crazy.
And even so, stretching, you can stretch it, nothing. It doesn't give you any relief.
It can give you a little bit of relief. I tried big time today of doing my physical therapy. I put heat on it. I did the TENS thing. Ever done the TENS?
Yes, I have one of those. Yeah, I have them.
So
yeah.
It actually, it makes my arm move around because it's so, I jack it up and it like makes you spasm.
Yeah, it makes you spasm. Have you tried fentanyl?
I don't know. I've heard people had good success with that.
Yeah, I hear good things. I hear good things.
Yeah. Thank you, doctor. I may try that. But yeah.
Ask your doctor if fentanyl is right for you.
That's what I'm dealing with right now. So,
oh, that sucks. I tell you what, I had my, and Omar knows this. I actually talked to him last night too. So I've had my third dose of Omar.
Oh my gosh.
I played hockey for the very first time since tearing my calf last night. And I added, of course, another sleeve/brace to my arsenal, which is ridiculous. So now, you know, it's like I get dressed with my clothes.
Willis Reed. It's like Willis Reed.
You're armor.
Yeah, then I have to put on another layer of all these different sleeves on different parts of my body. It's ridiculous. But I felt – it actually felt good, but I'm exhausted today even. And that was last night, and I'm sore and because I haven't played in so long. It's just like our bodies are breaking down slowly. That's really just what's happening.
I'm looking at Omar's eyes in this conversation about getting older, and I can see just like wanting –
He's older than both of us.
I don't think that's true.
No, you're older than both of us.
Yeah, I think
I was trying to make you feel better for your frozen shoulder. Yeah.
And now I don't feel good. Well, should we kick off the podcast? Omar, do you have anything else before we start?
No, we're on a time limit. So Josh is being his.
You're right.
I haven't said anything. I haven't given you a stink eye. I haven't said anything. I haven't given you a message. Nothing.
You're like the guy who runs Serbia, Slobodan Milosevic, whatever that guy's name is.
He doesn't run Serbia anymore.
Whatever the guy's name is. Bashak, Bashir.
Yeah, that's different country.
Oh, it is?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, while anyway, you guys are figuring that out, let me kick off the
podcast. Josh is an autocrat. Dave is a diplomat.
Thank you. Thank you. That's nice. With a frozen shoulder. All right. We're going to kick off the podcast. Our podcast is basically we come together, the three of us. Neither of us have talked about what our topic is going to be. We throw it out there. We discuss it. And we try to wrap it up in time for the next thing we have to do.
Yeah.
So, but before we get started, we have wonderful content beyond this podcast. First, we'd love for you to email us at friends@fts.media. That is friends, plural, at fts.media. We also have a website at friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, you'll get lots and lots of content, daily content.
Daily.
Still, Josh, that's still true?
Daily content. Daily content.
At Friends Talking Shop, and yes. We'll keep you company every single day. It's sort of like a daily pick-me-up, you know, when you're feeling blue.
Yeah, and it's nice because I really work my real job only 90 minutes a day, so it frees up a lot of time for me to do this.
It shows. That your Instagram is so good.
You know what song just popped in my head?
Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
I know. Right. I'll give you a hint. Ready? The name of the band is Loverboy.
Working for the Weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's working. Anyway,
for
Josh
the weekend.
Josh doesn't work.
I work.
That was profound. Yeah.
Now what you'd have to do is
he just add has in the one, weekends. Anyway,
you have to add in one word now for me. Everybody's working for the weekend days, not the weekend nights anymore. It's the weekend days.
That's Josh has the weekend handed to him on a silver platter. There's no word required.
Oh God.
All right. Well, let's kick it off. We do topic by topic. Josh, do you want to kick it off?
Sure. So as I said, I had traveled to see my daughter this last weekend for family weekend. Before that, I had traveled to see my son to move him actually into school. And I noticed there's a new thing happening, and I wonder if you guys noticed, and then I want to get your take on it. So we discussed this a while ago on one of the episodes about tipping and how annoying it is now when it's not something that warrants it. Like you get a beverage at a fast food place and they turn the screen around and they say, here's your tip, you know, and you have to touch the screen what tip you want to give them, which is utterly ridiculous. That's just gone on like, you know, blockbuster. It's crazy. It's everywhere. Everyone wants a tip for everything, right?
We talk about it in the New Yorker.
Okay. So here's a new thing, and I'm wondering if you guys have run across this, because I've now run across this now two basic times in a row with trips. The first was going to see my daughter. We're having dinner, and the waitress says at the end of dinner, oh, I really hope you loved the service. I hope you loved eating here, blah, blah, blah. You had a good night. We're like, oh, yeah, of course. And then she hands me a card, like a business card, and it says, Please go to that link and rate my performance and write a good review about me if you don't mind.
For her person.
For her personally. Personally.
Wait. This wasn't instituted by the restaurant. You're 1,000% sure.
I don't know if it was a restaurant driven thing or if it was her taking, trying to get a leg up on everybody else, but it was, I think it was a Google review, like go in there and then mention my name. So it's a review for the restaurant. And then she wants me to mention her name in the review. That's basically.
Okay, it makes more sense. Yeah.
Okay. Then I turn around and I'm at my son's new apartment and we're moving him in and the cable guy comes to put in their Wi-Fi, right?
Jim Carrey?
Not Jim Carrey, not that cable guy. Kids don't have that anymore. It's the Wi-Fi cable guy. And he does his thing. And I said, thanks. And then he gives me a friggin' card. And he says, can you review me? And say my name and say what a great job I did. Okay, so now I've run into this now a few times. So there are two examples recently, and I've actually run into this.
That would make more sense than the waitress.
Well, listen, I don't know what makes sense and what doesn't. I don't know what's happening if the restaurant sees that, Barbara got a great review from Josh who said that the service was on time and she was personable. Let's give her a raise. I don't know
means. For the record, Barbaras never have good personalities, but go on, Josh.
Yeah.
Barbara Eden? No.
Yeah,
Barbara Bush. Walters.
Only on TV.
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand. Yeah.
Barbara Walters did not have a good personality, by the way.
What about Babar the elephant?
And Barbara Streisand, really?
That's what you came up with. That's the first part.
I'll tell you why I said that, because I had an Uber driver this weekend also, and his name was Babar.
And my brother-in-law's name is Babar.
That's different. Is it Babar? Is it spelled like
Babar? B-A-B-A-R. It is.
Yeah,
correct.
He's Babar. He's Babar.
Yeah.
How about Hanna-Barbera cartoons? Do you like?
Yeah, those were great. Those were great. Anyway, so I'm finding that this seems to be the new tipping, the new annoyance with service workers is now rate me, tell everyone how great I am online in some format. I'm going to tell you something right now. It's exhausting because I did it for both of them and it was a pain in the ass. It's not like I can do it in 20 seconds and check off 5 stars like I do with an Uber driver and call it a day. You got to go in there. You got to sign in. You got to rate the cleanliness, the atmosphere, the food, the pricing. And then you got to go in and type up your words. And it's too much. It's a big ask. So I want to know a couple things. One, have you guys run into this yet? Because now I seem to be running into it quite a bit. I'm thinking it's a new trend or could be. And second, which is worse? The tipping problem that we talked about with the screen where they really do nothing and then you got to hit 18% for no reason whatsoever? Or is this worse? What would you rather do? So let me open it up. Let me throw it out to both of you. What do you think?
I'll go first.
Yeah. Let's not have dead air.
The rating is out of control. I don't know about the card, but every single thing you do, you get a follow-up of review and rate. And if you just delete it, then it comes back. Hey, just remind you. Like I'm buying a car. Like I felt like I had 5 different sources coming at the dealership, the car company.
Great point.
And when I just said delete it, they keep coming back. There's the rating. I get how the economy works because it's all about ratings and Google. And, you want to get, like, for our podcast, please rate us on iTunes, right? You need hits on YouTube. But it is out of control. It's for minor things, these ratings are.
I got it for my flight. I forgot to mention that. It's a great point you brought it up. I didn't even equate the two. I got it for my flight. American Airlines sent me an email yesterday and said, how was your flight? Rate your flight.
You'll get three, you know, if you don't respond. It clogs up your inbox.
It's crazy. But at least with that, let me just say this. At least with that, it's a delete. And it's very simple to make it go away. When someone hands you their card and you've been interacting with them for a certain period of time, you almost feel obligated. I felt obligated. I'm like, oh, this is a real person who I can see, who I've spoken to, who I, you know, this is tangible versus an email, which is just who knows who's on the other end of that. And you probably don't even care. But someone that you've interacted with, you just feel more inclined to say, oh, I think I should do this for that person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Omar?
Dude, I have no interest in going to any Google review. If it's an entrepreneur and that helps him get better qualified for getting searches from people on like Google, there's something to that because there is some asymmetry, right? And I like that entrepreneurial zeal, which you find so rarely on this podcast or quite frankly anywhere else.
What are you talking about?
Well, you guys are both Q finders, right? You like to find lines to wait in. I like to create my own line.
What?
But I think to go back to your question, Josh.
Please.
I'm very, very quick to give 20%. If it's anything over $10, though, which sometimes it begins, especially when you're in the Hamptons, by the way, it could be a $37 tip on like 8 pints of ice cream and 3 coffees. Right. Then it's like, wait. And then I bring it back down to 10. But I apologize before I do it.
But you listen, what about when you're at like the biggest fraud of this? There's instances where, look, people deserve 18-20%. That's a legit in certain circumstances.
Not in London.
That's true. Not in London. But when you're at the concession stand of like at a football game or a basketball game, and you say, just get me a Coke or a beer. And they literally just go, they turn their back and they reach for a bottle of Bud and hand it to you, you know, or a can of Bud and hand it to you. I'm not tipping 18% on that. They're already ripping me off in that arena, making that Bud Light $12. I'm not tipping 18% on top of that. They didn't do anything. It's ridiculous. Yep.
Do you tell a cashier?
Would you rather rate that person or would you rather tip that person? Now, tipping is easier, but, you know, what would you rather do?
Tip every time. Just the tip, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Cosby.
Oh, yeah, way to bring it around. And I would say the tip as well. If I can judge them based on, you know, a monetary reward and then leave me alone after that. This tracking me down, especially if it was a star and be over, but it's star and then it kicks you to the second page.
That's right.
Like you said, and there's like 7 questions. That's like, and then comments. It's too much. Everyone is doing it. It's too much.
It is too much. I'm more of a principal though. If your situation is where I've interacted with you and I liked the interaction and you asked me to rate you, I'd be more inclined to rate you than to tip. Okay. Let me rephrase my question. You can either tip that concession stand person that handed you a Bud Light can, like I said, 20% on your $12 beer, or you can rate a waitress or waiter at a restaurant that was absolutely awesome and was great and personable and you really liked. Which one are you doing?
Well, that's kind of a leading question because
you both said at a convenience
or $10.
Well, you both said at a convenience, you would tip. Yeah. But in this, the scenario I gave you, was that still the case?
I would rate. If it's worthy of rating, I would rate.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would rate someone. I think it's like Omar said, if it's a special circumstance, someone comes over and works in my house, they're a sole business owner, and that helps them to get the, you know, Google hits and things like that. I certainly would do that.
Okay.
But
All right.
things like a flight? What does Southwest need my rating for?
It's ridiculous. Everything. Yeah.
No, here's the thing. What you guys, this is a business opportunity. In other words, if you tip more than 20% in any establishment, there should be balloons that drop from the ceiling or some other type of signal to the people behind you in line that you are empathic.
Hmm. Interesting.
You get social credits for it.
You know what? That's a win-win too. Because if you did that, not only would you feel better that you made they rang a bell or whatever with your tip, Mm-hmm. But that would also make the person next to them or behind them
correct
feel like they should tip too,
because
correct.
Yes, the bell's not going to ring for them, and the person behind them is going to be like, oh, what a cheap
bastard. Balloons is a bad execution of this plan.
Is very difficult to pull off. You cannot load all the balloons dropping from the ceiling for each 20% tip. That's not going to work. It's just not
practical. Something repeatable, easily repeatable. A bell
ring
is,
that bell.
Now, is that the right thing to do? If you look and saw 20% plus, and then you ring the bell,
yeah,
everyone in the establishment goes, thank you, and then is that good?
No, it's not good, because it's social anxiety and it's social pressure for everyone to do that, even though it might not be warranted.
So you disagree with Omar's idea, because it's the flip side of this is 10%. Everyone boos you, throws the bell at your head.
Right. I think Omar's idea is smart. I didn't say I liked it.
Especially if you're on a date.
Yeah, if you're on a date, you're going to impress. You want to impress.
Right.
You want to impress.
Yeah. You want to impress. But you could also take that too far. You could also look like an asshole if you overtip. You can look like an asshole.
You know what you could do? On the receipt, you could check for 20%. We'll come over and say, thanks for your business.
This is too much.
Mr. So-and-so. Like, to like elevate the date situation and make you look important. At 25%, we'll ask about, we'll ask you a question and really make you feel special. Like, there could be some quick give out for the tip that impresses your dinner party.
Yeah. Listen, I want to end the whole thing. I want to end all of it.
Well, that would be better. Yes.
I want
as long
to end
as we're living in this world, we might as well get some out of it.
Correct. But let's go back to tipping the way we did for people who deserve it, for people who do your hair, for people who wait your tables, not for people who hand you a Bud Light in 2 seconds. And let's stop with the stupid ratings. Or if you want to have the ratings, you got to make them incredibly easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredibly easy.
That's right.
Otherwise, it's a horrible annoyance.
Yeah, when you're staying in an Airbnb, ratings make sense there.
Yeah, that's right.
A flight does not make sense. Yes,
no, it doesn't make sense.
And look, the other challenge because of the unfair tax policy of this government is that when you tax people, when you tip people on your credit card, that's taxed. And this is why cash is always king.
Yeah, but cash is going away. We all know that. It's going
well. What's the policy? Both candidates want to do tipping tax free. Have we talked?
Correct.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah. No, we didn't. But it's really not that exciting.
But isn't that kind of a crazy idea? Because aren't the restaurants going to somehow figure out a way to?
Yeah, they were lower the minimum wage even further. Exactly.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
It'll be something else. There's always everything. Nothing goes and starts without consequence. But. The other thing I was going to say
that?
With the
that was a line from like The Matrix. What are you, the fucking Oracle? No, who talks like that? Actually, you're like Kamala Harris.
Everything's got consequence. What are you talking about? Get out of here. But I was tipping the valet with Venmo, which was nice.
It's valet.
It's valet. Yes. Anyway. All right.
Just like banal.
No, that's a good kill. Good kill shot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So you're on this. You don't like small talk. You don't like tipping. You don't want to be out at night, Josh. It's what's the fear of being outside?
Agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia.
I do not have agoraphobia.
No,
I do not have agoraphobia.
You have symptoms.
I have some phobia, but it ain't agora.
All right. Well, I agree with you. You're on to something with the rating.
The ratings,
that is yes. That is worth
too
bringing
much
up and stopping somehow. And the internet, which is killing our lives, is we need an easy button on our phone. Maybe you can take a picture of some, QR code.
I don't know
code.
How you solve it, but the way we're doing it now sucks.
Do you guys think that someone's Uber rating is a good indicator of who that person is as a person?
No. I'll tell you why, because it's the path of least resistance. Unless something's so awful, you just hit 5.
I think that's right.
Yeah. What if they have a 4.2 Uber rating?
Yeah, 4.2 is shitty. It's really
what is the level? Have you ever canceled?
That's my point. That's my point, Josh.
Something's bad there. Something's bad.
Have you canceled based on a Uber rating that's too low?
I've never seen a horrible rated Uber driver. I've had hundreds of rides. Yeah. Everyone is a 4.8 or better.
Yeah, I think that's right. But if it was 4.67, I don't. What would you do there?
No, there's a flaw in this. But my Uber rating is a 4.57.
Yeah. See, but you probably were with someone who threw up in the car or something like that.
My thing is that I have I have Chachi Boy. I have a dog with me.
Dog. Yep. Oh, dog. They don't want the dog. Yep.
Josh, what is your Uber rating?
I'm like a 4.9.
I gotta check and see. Yeah,
that's the only thing. That's the only thing Josh is a 9 in. Ubers.
I'm a 4.89.
Oh God.
I think it's because I forgot to tip. I'm a perfect Uber passenger.
No. Well, they don't. They tip you. They don't. They grate you before they don't see the tip.
That's right. They rate you long before you tip.
Mm-hmm. Why would I not always be a 5? I'm always super pleasant.
You say some choice things. Maybe you brought up your cold shoulder and people are like, "Oh God, the cold shoulder."
No, Josh. Maybe enough of this. Someone.
The cold shoulder. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Come on, Josh. That was right there.
All right, we gotta move this along. We got Dave's on a time schedule here.
Omar, go ahead. Yeah. You next. What's one of your 5?
All right, so I think this is what I'm gonna go with, but it's about the dresses, a couple of things. So look, you guys know me in a long time. I generally have been pretty fairly. I go through different time periods of like how I dress, right? Mm-hmm. And like where I wear the same outfit often.
Every day.
And, you know, I've been in my white shirt phase now for a few years. You know,
it's been a few years.
My white button downs from James Purse, cotton. Yes. I don't do
hoodies and white button downs. I don't see you in anything else. Hoodies and white button downs.
Yeah, my Lou Miles hoodies or the white button downs. Yeah. And so now the cotton, I don't do linen. And the James Purse, and I love them, right? And I look good in white. It's a good combination with my skin color, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And so now what's happened recently is that, as you know, there is something that is called wear and tear, right? Like on your elbows, there's like strings coming off on your shirt. And we continue wearing them because they're still functional.
Sure.
Right? And so maybe there's ripping the collar here and there or a little thing there, but my thing is, as long as I got this going on, I'm good, right? And so I have something going on right now with this particular shirt, and there's not very many of them. The last 4 James Purse stores I've been at have been sold out of this shirt.
Okay. Can you get them online? They're not back order, or you can just
sold out online too, as well as online. And so this shirt, and I'm gonna stand up and show Josh and Dave audience. Okay.
I'll
show it to you guys first.
Okay. So he's standing up right now. This is for oh my God. He has a massive hole. This is not a little thing, ladies and gentlemen.
Small hole. Yeah.
This is a massive hole where his armpit is on his right side.
And it goes about halfway down to my torso.
Yes.
It's like you've been in a fight.
It's like you were the very weak Lou Ferrigno, Incredible Hulk.
That's exactly.
You got a little pissed off, but not all the way.
So, so my point is, and I wear this out. I wore it out.
No.
Well, that's my question. Like, why does it make a difference?
No, you cannot wear that out.
Because this shirt apparently cannot be fixed because it's torn at the seam, and it like this is apparently like you can't fix that. So why am I going to get rid of it? Right? You guys can't tell on this podcast.
Well, you can't tell when you're like that, but if you even because we're seeing you on a screen, we're seeing a very small portion of you. If I was in your presence right now, it would take me all of 1.2 seconds to notice that ridiculous rip in your shirt.
So and then, but hold on a second, because like my team says to me, doesn't look good. I'm like, why is it? It doesn't look good. Actually a good look because I'm not throwing away clothes.
No, it's a bad look. You're a professional.
David, what do you, first of all, that is not a word that I consider myself to be. I don't know what that even means. It's all optics. David, what do you think?
This is ridiculous.
Well, I will say.
I'm not saying for a business meeting, by the way. I'm saying we had dinner together. If I meet you guys for lunch in New York and whatever, it's other people there, maybe I don't know.
I have, my golf shorts that I love, you know, I will wear those, you know, around and around and around outside, you know, golfing to the store.
To bed.
And then I realized that certain parts of the shorts have like thinned so much because I've overworn them that they're basically see-through in certain areas. And I feel like, I want to keep wearing them, but then they get they seem to disappear. My wife seems to find a way to get rid of them. So I have been known to wear something to past its useful life.
So have I, though. But the difference is that you, when that happens, I usually just wear it around the house.
Yeah, I think
I don't
that's
go out
right.
in it. I don't go out in it. I don't enter the open world in my ripped shirt.
I think I have had a couple ripped shirts that I love so much that I went past even that. It's not just around
Hold
the house.
On. Was it a rip as big as we just saw in Omar's shirt?
No, that one looks like, are you okay? Like, some people are going to stop you and ask.
Like, were you mugged?
Yeah.
Did someone try to reach
you for something?
Wallet?
Look.
Yeah. Yes, I see it. It's a podcast, so it's very difficult to.
Why don't you cut it into a pattern so it looks like that's part of the design of the shirt?
Cut the other side the exact same way. That's what you do, and so people are like, "Oh, well, it's not a tear. It's the he's got the
what's
same."
What's that
thing
Saturn Live with the V-necks? Different
giant V-necks. Dipping V-necks.
You could do that, Omar.
You cannot wear that out in public.
So
I'm
you're saying that I'm inferring from this that that also means not on like not that I've had one in a while, but any dates?
No,
it's
not true. Actually, I had a date last week and I wore this actual shirt, and I'm kind of I mentioned it when I first met her, and she was okay with it.
Have you had a second date?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you I bet you she agreed to a second date. Just to see if are all this guy's clothes ripped? I want to see. So that was probably a little social experiment on her end. Where like she just wanted to see if all your clothes were ripped. Listen, just wear that around.
So you guys are telling me this is like the washing my hair thing, Josh. You're saying, Omar,
yes,
you need to just not even think about this. This is a clear decision.
Omar, I thought you were going to show me a dime-shaped hole under your armpit or something that was a little innocuous that you couldn't see or inconspicuous, I should say, not innocuous, inconspicuous, where it's like, okay, you'd really have to investigate to see. Then I would have been on board. I would have said, you know what? I have shirts with like little holes in the collar that I wear every once in a while because I like the feel of it. I like the look of it. And most people don't recognize it and don't see the fraying or the hole. That's not what you showed us. You showed us as if you just had a fight with Wolverine. That's what you showed us. Hugh Jackman came to your house as Wolverine and tried to destroy you. You can't wear that out. Wear it around the house.
I think it's a great pool shirt, right?
Yes, there you go. Wear it around the pool. Wear it around the house. Wear it as a nightshirt. Wear it, you know, in like if you want. If you're gonna go catfishing, great shirt. Where it go catfishing. No one's gonna call you. Yeah. Catfishing. Where you go catfishing
online?
No.
You mean literally fishing?
I mean literally getting in a river and sticking your hand in a hole.
Why would you say catfishing, not just fishing?
I don't know. It's the first thing that came to mind. You know why I said it? Because I just watched the new Naked and Afraid and they were catching catfish.
Oh, okay. That's such a
it was in my head. Yeah.
Well, how
it
do you
is
feel
a weird thing
that,
to say.
Omar, do you feel
you want to know what, guys? I think you're right. I think I'm doing it just because of I want the attention or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
You love the shirt.
I think you're right.
But you get an look, I have a ton of shirts and I really only wear 20% of them. And I tell myself that because I'm like, oh, I should really wear some more of these shirts.
Right.
Because it's funny, because now that we're changing seasons, I have so many t-shirts. I have so many t-shirts. And I look, I go, you know, I really wear the same like 10 t-shirts and I have 50 to 60 others that I just don't even touch. And they're sitting in my drawer. And I should, but I should either wear them or I should really get rid of them, quite honestly.
Yeah. Once you get to the point where you ditch the old ones and just have five that you just rotate and they're easy to find. It's elevated living there.
But you go back to the clothes that you like the best and that fit you well. And that shirt is one of those items. Now, it's gone to a place where it's you can't go back. I mean, it's gone too far. But I understand you not wanting to ditch it because I have plenty of clothes that I don't want to ditch that are not to that extent, but are getting there or will eventually one day be there. Although I'm not sure to that extent. Your shirt's ridiculous.
But, you know, throughout everything you just said, Josh, you missed a very important point. Omar came to a realization of himself. I think it's really important. He said, I think I'm doing it because I want attention.
Ah.
That is a big step for you, Omar.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. Listen, let's not look too closely into that comment, all right? Jesus Christ.
Someone's regretting that comment.
Yeah. I saw a mermaid.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think Dave's spot on with that, though. But so let's wrap this one up. Stop wearing the shirt. It's utterly ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah. unless you get a role as a homeless person in a community theater or something like that, then you can.
Well, Omar, what if you went on a date and your date had a shirt that was that big of a hole? What would you think?
Mm. I think he'd like.
Hey, listen, this Omar likes. This is, I haven't even bought her a drink yet, and that's already happening. I'm happy.
Yeah, maybe.
Imagine. Yeah, that's a great question. I know we have to move on to your topic, Dave, but real quick, Omar. What if a girl was wearing a dress on a date with you and it had a nice big, I'll call it like 6-inch tear down the seam on the side or something like that?
Oh, you mean like a run in her stockings or something
Not
like that?
Not a run in her stocking. No, because that can happen that day. That can happen right before.
Okay.
I'm talking about something where, there's a hole in her outfit that
she like missing a heel or some shit like that, you mean?
Again, okay, fine. Whatever.
Just say yes.
Whatever example you want me to give, other than the one I actually gave you.
Okay.
Would that turn you off?
I would.
You would ask her. Very good. Now,
no, I would say this has got to be a great story. Something. I mean, tell me about this. I love that you're actually wearing this.
Okay. Now, what if she says, "Let's role play." I'm her, and I said, "No. I like this dress, and I've had the hole in it for a year."
I wouldn't care.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think we spend too much time trying to, prep our own images for society. This be who you are.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God.
I just said that.
Hey Kettle.
I don't use product in my hair, Josh. Do you?
Yeah, not typically. Only if I go out without a hat, I use product in my hair. Yes.
See, David, you see how the tables have turned?
Not really.
Josh, your hair is pretty short.
It is, but I use very little bit because I have the opposite of you. Yours, you want to flatten out a little bit.
You need to prop
mine,
up.
I want to build up a little bit. Just okay. A little. Yeah.
Fair enough. We don't have to dig into that too deeply.
That's a saying in like Japanese. It's like Harakami or something when the tables are turned.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is at all.
That's why this did on Josh.
You're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Dave. I wish you could have gone for like an hour of Omar keep saying – a different example than
a
what
different
you
example other than the one I actually
just
gave
over
him.
And over.
Yeah. What if she had a tear in her dress? Oh, you mean like a heel that's missing? Oh, you mean like a collar that's off?
He just won't.
You mean like a button that popped out?
Give me more of that.
Yeah.
All right. Let me wrap up. I think relatively quickly here. So yesterday I was at a conference and I listened to an AI futurist, which Ooh. You can give me AI futurists all day long. I love hearing about like where we're going. Like he was convinced he said, I don't want to say I think we're going to live forever. However, he's one of these guys, right? He had a couple of interesting things that I thought I just wanted to share with you. It's not a real amazing topic, but it was on my mind. I want to share it with you.
Sure.
Where was I going? Oh, so I'll get to the one thing I wanted to ask you, but I thought this was interesting. He said, here are the things that he thinks are complications of AI that he worries about. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm in case I'm not speaking clear, I'm talking about artificial intelligence.
Yes. Yes. You're talking about
ChatGPT.
Alan Iverson.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Are the computers going to kill us one day?
Well, that's number four.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
An existential threat. It's that somehow we are no longer aligned with the computers and they harm our human.
Yeah, they take
person.
Over.
Oh, they take over.
But the other I thought were interesting, which I think we've talked about maybe on the podcast or one-on-one of things, is one is, I can't say this word, but basically it's the
banal
combination of idiot and Idiocracy? Is that is there a
Idiocracy.
Movie?
Idiocracy.
We're basically
Bill Maher. No.
And that is basically AI will make us dumb. Like WALL-E, where we're all sitting in chairs, we're overweight, and the robots does everything. He was worried. That's his number one thinks that's very likely. Number two is dehumanization. where it's basically we're more interested in our virtual worlds than we are in the real world.
In the real world,
and I think that's very true. He talked about how young people like the movie Her, where you are like, you know, your girlfriend is a robot, and or, you know, is a computer, or your friends are your.
That's a sad. Bots. That's a sad. That would be a sad world if that ever comes to that.
I think that is a real possibility because one of the things that technology does is it sort of desensitizes you to socialization.
Right.
And then it becomes awkward. You don't know how to handle it. So then your outlet is your computer games, your social bots or whatever. And the other is jobs displacement, not because people lose money, but because they lose their purpose, that we exist to work. Josh, not so much, but we, you know what I mean? We exist to work and we have
identity any of this.
In our work. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Do you guys fear AI?
No.
You're just completely, you think it's all, none of these things worry you?
Well, look, I think there's possibilities of this stuff. And everything, this is almost what I said with before, with when you change things, they have consequences that Omar mocked me about. But every time that there's some sort of technological advancement, there's always this litany of things people come up with that are going to be horrible negatives.
Traveling back in time with Josh would be the fucking worst thing ever. Don't touch anything. What? Don't touch anything. It's going to have consequences. No. You move this, you touch this butterfly. It would be the worst.
Why would I want to travel back in time with you?
I'm just saying I wouldn't travel back in time.
Well, I wouldn't travel back in time with you. Oh, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, I would touch things if I went back in time because I'd be curious.
I don't think you would. I actually.
You don't?
I think you'd be afraid. Don't you?
Oh, I would. I would hold Joe Carter's back bat in 1993 when Mitch Williams is pitched in the World Series. I would do a few things like that. That are, you know, it's
Joe Carter.
I would kill baby Hitler. Great, you got to kill baby Hitler.
Another by Hitler.
Yeah, I remember that moment, man. Oh my God,
it was awful. I remember.
Josh is going back in time to kill Joe Carter as a baby. That's
the worst? It's a great question. Is that your worst moment as a Philly sports fan?
It's a very bad one.
My worst moment as a Baltimore Orioles fan was when Jeffrey Mayer reached over the fence and took the at home and made Derek Jeter's fly ball a home run.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. But anyway, reeling this back into Dave's, I just think that people, when something's new, there's so much unknown with it. And people freak the hell out all the time with everything. And so this one is definitely a little different. It's definitely a bigger leap than anything we've ever had before. So I will grant you that. But I just think, you know, as dumb as humans are, we're also really incredibly smart and adaptive. And I think we'll figure it out. I don't think now, will there be a group of people that going off into their nether world or, you know, their digital world instead of coming out? Yeah, there's probably going to be that. We'll see that on some sort of talk show with Dr. Phil, where they're talking to people who can't get out of their meta world, but it's not going to be everybody. I mean, it's just not. It's just so it's like, all right, I don't fear it at all. I think there's going to be a lot of good that comes from it. There'll be negative.
I mean, it feels like people in the know in this business do say, you know, 10% maybe, but there's probability of like the end of our human existence.
You guys know what the term sentient means?
Yes, we know what sentient is. It was one of our first clips ever, the sentient
toilet question. Do you know what the Turing test is?
Alan Turing?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is it, Dave? Actually, Josh, what is it? I want to hear Josh say what the Turing test is.
I know what it is, but I'd like you to describe it to our audience.
See, Josh does not know what it is. David,
I know what it is.
It's when the computer – you can't tell whether it's a computer or a human.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I knew that. Awesome. I knew that.
Well done. Well done. No. So I guess my response to this is that just like there are a bunch of people who are addicted to heroin, right, and or who are addicted to welfare – and are caught in these circles of addiction. This happens, right? It's just reality. There will be a mass of people who live in a sovereign state that is run by AI, and they will it. And they will basically it will be some version of the Matrix. Rather than live in my mother's basement, right? I'd rather have my brain hooked up to an AI computer and live this glorious existence for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Do you know what it's akin to?
That will happen.
You know what it's akin to, though? And I'm going to bring it back
akin.
To how
akin. What is it akin to, Josh?
It's akin to, and this is not exactly a perfect analogy, but it's like Dungeons and Dragons or role playing games, where people immerse themselves in that. That's just the rudimentary version of being in a meta world in an AI type of world.
Well, at some point, if it's lifelike, you know, I wonder, like, nutrition is a problem because people forget to eat, and you know,
I'm not gonna
I wonder
forget
how far.
To eat. This is all nonsense.
Look, no. To parrot Josh, do you know what it is akin to, David?
No, what is it akin to?
It's akin to the movie The Matrix.
No, it's
That's
not.
What point? Yes, it is. People will
it's
plug
not.
In, and they're going to go to another dimension.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, virtual reality, you do that now, and then eventually you take off the headset and you go and get your hoagie at Wawa.
I think that will be a real risk. Well, it's like
when
you said,
wealth,
some people
when wealth disparity gets further blown out, like it is every day, it will be more of an option. It will happen.
Yeah, maybe.
Have you seen Ready Player One? That's what that movie's about.
Bingo.
So.
Yes, it could happen. It's just not going to be all of us.
Which one of us, actually, I wonder, Dave, is Neo? Who's more likely to be Neo?
The chosen one?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that movie
really
so long ago.
Tough
I can't
question.
Even,
I don't know.
Right. Ooh, Josh is going to be the Oracle. Speaking in riddles, your destiny could be produced.
Listen, if you think the word akin and consequences are riddles, I have some bad news for you.
You had actions have consequences.
I think you ripped more than your shirt.
Were you a hall monitor in high school, college?
No, I was not a hall monitor.
See you telling on people if they're running in the hallway. Mrs. Siegel, I saw Jeremy running he was running and he knocked somebody over.
Actions, consequences.
Oh, God.
I got one more on this thing, which I just want to throw out there. Just see what you guys think. Is they think they're pretty close to a point, maybe you've heard this already, that Apple will disassociate from the App Store and you'll no longer go to apps to do things. Apple will want you just speak to it and it'll just do it for you.
I love it.
So if you want an Uber, you not go to your Uber app.
I love
just
it.
Say, give me an. You know,
I love it.
You're
I hope
okay
that
with
happens.
That?
That's a, I well, hope it happens. Okay with it. I would love it. I would love that. It'd be amazing.
It is a bit of a monopoly behavior though, right? Because everything, they would control all of it.
They would. But look, there'll be competitors to it where you'll be able to be on a different operating system and do the same thing.
I suppose. It is a little scary that it will be really more and more concentrated. How do you feel about that, Omar? Just no apps, just the phone.
Oh, so great.
It's just
so
you
great.
And your phone.
So great.
I think there's a certain beauty to going back to the era of the Razer tech, of the Motorola Razer phone.
No.
No.
Why
the convenience
would you want
that? Is so awesome. To order anything to... My son has an event he's got to go to. He doesn't have a blazer. He didn't bring one. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I was able to order one for him and get it to him in time for his event. I mean, just little things like that. It's like that efficiency and that convenience. You cannot go backwards from it. It's too awesome.
You know what that's called?
No, tell me.
Helicopter parenting.
Well, yes. Listen, I helped him out. He didn't know what size, you know, the whole thing. What a good
All
one
right.
was.
Well, I didn't want to scare you about the future, but I you know, a lot of it's good. Curing
doesn't
cancer.
Doesn't scare me at all. Dave doesn't gonna, scare me at all. Bring
two
it
day,
on.
2 day, 2 hour work days. It's all, and there's a lot of good coming too.
Bring
so
it on.
Josh already has that. He turned him into the age of AI.
I'm in an augmented world right now. I don't believe either of the two of you are human.
What? Yeah. All right. Well, we're just about right on time. I appreciate you guys doing shorter topics, but thanks for joining the show. Just once again, please email us friends@fts.media, our website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok @friendstalkingshop. If you liked what you just heard in the 76th episode, there's lots more out there for
there you.
So
we love you long time. We love you long time.
Oh, my. You can cut that out.
Yeah,
until next time. Well, goodbye, everybody.
See ya.
Smile later.